Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 175, Smorgasbord, February 2021. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, growing our skills, all that stuff. That's what we're here to do today. Now, first things first, I should mention that this was not actually the podcast episode that I had scheduled to get out this week. We were going to be talking about empanadas, actually, but many of you, including myself, were affected by some crazy, crazy winter weather over President's Day weekend, and that was actually the time that I had set aside to record most of the empanada content. So I had a power outage, couldn't do that, so we had to reschedule. So we just recorded it a couple of days ago, so I actually haven't had time to put that episode completely together. But it is a release day for the podcast, so I don't want to leave you empty-handed. So I thought I'd hop on and take some stuff I've got here that has been sort of percolating for a while and do a smorgasbord episode to get something into your ears. So that empanada episode will be coming soon. I'm going to have to work it in sort of as a bonus release in the next week or two to fit it in on my regular biweekly release schedule. So keep your eyes open for that. Empanadas will be coming soon. The other bits of housekeeping, if you want to get a hold of me, you can send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. If you just want to say hi, or if you have any ideas for new topics for the show or questions you'd like me to try to address on the podcast, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com is a great place. You know, you can also find me over at Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. Now, that's actually the page for the show. Not a lot goes on there, truth be told, but we do have a private Facebook group called the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break that's much more active and much more interesting. So if you're a Facebook person and you're interested in joining more of a community, I would definitely suggest checking out the Facebook group. And the easiest way to get there is just kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And I'm also fairly active, reading messages and things like that over on Twitter at TKC Podcast. Also, for this particular episode, you can find the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/175. So I'll mention a couple of recipes and things like that. Episode 175, that's where you'll find the show notes. Okay, I don't think I have anything else to say. So without further ado, let's jump into this February smorgasbord. Okay, first thing I want to cover today, I've had several questions actually over the last few weeks, couple of months, about Instant Pot related stuff. And you know, I've done a couple of episodes on the Instant Pot. My first one was episode 90, where it was just sort of a general. I had another home cook on, Heidi, who talked about Instant Pot general stuff. And then I did another episode about a year ago, 149, which was 5 tasks your Instant Pot makes easy. But I keep getting questions. It's a very popular tool, obviously, for home cooks. And I thought it's also timely because my sister, Julie, I discovered while we were without power. She lives in another part of town. She had power. So over the weekend, we went over to her house and, you know, to charge up our electronics and stuff like that, get warm. And anyway, it turns out she has an Instant Pot that she hasn't really ever used. So we took a little bit of time and I showed her a few things. And like I taught her how to make hard-boiled eggs in the Instant Pot. I think since then she's made chicken and potatoes in the Instant Pot. But I thought, well, maybe it's time just to tackle a couple of questions on the Instant Pot that I've gotten. So let's do that. So this question, and I'm going to summarize this, but this question came in from Cass in Montana, and it says, Cass says, I recently received an Instant Pot as a gift and have started using it mostly as a slow cooker. I am nervous about using it as a pressure cooker. Do you have any tips on where to begin? There are a lot of websites with information, but it can be overwhelming, so any advice on some simple things to start with would be appreciated. Well, Cass, great question. And, you know, it's strange because I actually usually only think of my Instant Pot as a pressure cooker. I kind of forget it has all of these other functions like slow cooking and things like that. So this is a very good question. So definitely check out the two episodes I mentioned. Again, I'll put the links to those in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/175. And just to recap really quickly, in that last, most recent episode I did, I talked about five things that it makes your Instant Pot makes easy. They were, just to summarize really quickly, they were hard-boiled eggs, cooking beans, making stock, cooking grains, and potatoes. So those were sort of the five things I talked about over there. So definitely check that out. And you're right, there's a billion resources on the internet with Instant Pot. I mean, it might be one of the most popular appliances ever, in terms of the internet age, at least. But here's a couple of more ideas I would give a shot if you're looking for sort of low risk, easy things to do. One of those is a very simple mac and cheese. And one thing you're going to find when you start to use your Instant Pot is it's not magic, right? It still takes time to heat up. It still takes time to come to pressure. So a lot of times when a recipe says, hey, you can cook something in 15 minutes, well, that right might really mean like 30 minutes because it's going to take 10 minutes to come up to pressure. And then you're going to cook it for 15 minutes. And then maybe you have to let it cool down for 5 minutes before you release the steam, right? So you have to take the amazing claims of magic speed with the Instant Pot pressure cooker with a grain of salt. I mean, it is, after all, a pressure cooker. It has to follow the laws of physics, right? It can't do anything too magical. And that said, a lot of recipes that you're going to find won't necessarily even seem faster or quicker than doing it the traditional way. But one thing I think the Instant Pot does excel at is making things where you have to watch over them so closely. So let me give you an example with this mac and cheese recipe. Very simple mac and cheese recipe. Just a few ingredients, elbow macaroni noodles, water, a little bit of salt to cook the noodles, and then you're going to use butter, milk, and cheese to finish it off. Essentially, what you do is, and again, I'll put the links in the show notes, but you put the macaroni noodles in your Instant Pot with water and a little bit of salt. You use the manual pressure mode and cook them for 4 minutes, which really is going to be like 10 minutes because it's going to, again, take some time to come up to speed or come up to pressure and heat, and then start counting down the 4 minutes. And then when the 4 minutes is over, you release the steam, you take the lid off, and then you stir in butter, milk, and shredded cheese. And you've got a really simple mac and cheese. Again, probably not really much faster than just doing it the old-fashioned way with a kettle on the stovetop. But, you know, I made it for lunch the other day, just sort of on a whim. It's really fast, really easy, and I don't have to sit and watch the noodles while they're cooking. I can just set the Instant Pot and get everything else ready, and then within a few minutes, we've got a yummy mac and cheese. So that's one idea. Another thing where I think the Instant Pot and other similar pressure cookers excel at is cooking tough cuts of meat. Now, I didn't talk about meat really in the last episode I did on the Instant Pot, but it really is a great way to not only reduce the time some tough cuts of meat take to cook, but really maximizing the tenderness and the flavor of those meats. And a classic example would be making a pot roast in your Instant Pot. So traditionally, a pot roast might take hours to cook slowly, whether you're braising it or maybe put it in the slow cooker all day. Well, with the Instant Pot, I mean, really, you're looking at a couple of hours total time if you get like a nice chuck roast or a bottom round roast or even a piece of brisket. You could do a pot roast style. But, you know, with some seasoning, some liquids, some other good veggies and things like that tossed in the pot, I mean, you can have a really delicious, very tender pot roast in under a couple of hours. And the Instant Pot makes it almost foolproof. It's almost impossible not to end up with a good tender roast when you're done with it. So if you want to vary your pot roast game a little bit, you can easily make pulled pork in a little over an hour, roughly, with a pork shoulder in the Instant Pot. You can make pork ribs in the Instant Pot. In fact, I had somebody even email me the other day about ribs in general. That was, I think it was Leanne from Maryland. And I do owe everybody a brand new ribs episode sooner or later, but you can make ribs in the Instant Pot fairly easily. I mean, we're talking, you know, about an hour to get a good set of baby backs or spare ribs done. Now, it's not going to be like you slow smoked it all day, and it's not going to have the bark and the smoke ring. But, you know, you can always take the ribs out when they're done cooking in the Instant Pot, throw them under the broiler for a few minutes to crisp them up. But yeah, there's lots of things in the meat category that you can make in the Instant Pot. Again, really excels at the tougher cuts of meat that would benefit from long and slow cooking. The Instant Pot can really ramp that up. So check that out at the show notes. And again, I'll put a few interesting recipes in there for you to get you started. I had one other question too on the Instant Pot lately, which I don't have much, a whole lot to say about, but I might as well address it. And Ernie from Oregon had asked me, have I ever tried yogurt in the Instant Pot? I have not. The yogurt, most Instant Pots, I think, have a built-in yogurt setting. And even if they don't, there's ways you can find recipes that tell you how to do it, even without the magic yogurt button on your Instant Pot. And as I understand it, it does take some time. I mean, you still have to culture the yogurt and, you know, let it sit for 8 hours or so in the Instant Pot. So it's not like it creates yogurt instantly, but it does, again, help automate and simplify some of the steps that go into making yogurt. And quite frankly, the reason I haven't made yogurt is I really don't care for yogurt all that much. My wife and my son like yogurt. I can't quite get there myself. Although I've read that the Instant Pot yogurts, the homemade yogurts, are usually a little less tangy than the store-bought kind. And that's usually where my problem is. It's a yogurt tang, just eating it straight, even with like fruit and stuff mixed into it. I can't do it. It's just not going to happen. Now, if I'm using like a plain Greek yogurt to mix in, say, and make a ranch dip instead of sour cream, that usually works because it masks the taste of the yogurt. But no, I have not tried making yogurt in the Instant Pot. Maybe I should just buckle my big boy pants and give it a shot and let you guys know how it goes. I could at least have my son and my wife taste test it, right? I don't have to eat it. So Ernie, I'm sorry. No, I have not made yogurt in the Instant Pot. But if you do, write back and let me know how it goes. Okay, so a couple ideas there for Instant Pot yumminess. I hope that gives you some ideas. I guess I only had a couple of questions on that front. But anyway, there you go. All right, new topic. A few episodes back, I did a homemade pie crust episode, and I'm really, really seriously considering either redoing it or doing an updated version of it, because I have to tell you, in my research for the empanada episode, I was doing a little research on short crust pastry, which is like pie crust or pastry crust, which is one of the probably the more common ways you'll find empanadas prepared with a pastry crust like that. And so I was experimenting, actually, on making some different types. And I actually have this cookbook that I've never really used. It's called Pocket Pies by Pamela Clark. And it's not just empanadas. It's all sorts of little mini pies and tarts and turnovers and things like that. But in here, she has a basic short crust pastry recipe and a technique. And I thought, oh, it seems a little complicated, but I'm going to give it a try. And I have to tell you, it turned out maybe the best pie crust I've ever made. It was tasty. It was extremely easy to work with. It rolled out perfectly. It didn't crack. It had a good texture, so I could stretch it out and get it to the size I wanted without, you know, feeling like it's too tiny for the pie plate or whatever. Anyway, I'm going to share this with you somehow in the show notes. And it's a very basic recipe. I mean, we're talking flour, butter, egg yolk, and ice water. But the key to the technique, and I know some of you pro bakers already know all this, so I'm preaching to the choir here. But of course, the key to this is keeping things cold, and that's really how you can turn out a really nice pastry crust. I mean, but this method that I use uses a food processor, which I typically do things by hand, but I thought, okay, I'm going to use a food processor this time. But every step, you really maximize keeping your ingredients cold. So for example, it recommends sifting your flour right into the food processor bowl and then sticking the food processor bowl in the fridge for 30 minutes to chill it with the flour in it. So I did that. It recommends freezing your butter for about 15 minutes or so until you can shred it on a box grater into the flour, you know, and it stays nice and it comes apart in nice pieces and doesn't melt into the dough. So I did that. Of course, I had some water, iced water. I had an egg yolk that I separated and put in the fridge to chill as well. So essentially, it wants you to, when everything's chilled, take the food processor with all of the flour in it. And you can add salt if it's a savory crust. You can add a little confectioner sugar if it's a sweet crust. But it wants you to pulse the butter into the flour until it's kind of crumbly and grainy. And then you add the egg yolk and just start adding water and pulsing that in until everything starts to come together to where you can pop it out on a floured surface and knead it into a ball. I won't go through it in extreme detail, but the process of keeping everything chilled and working with the food processor and doing this way, I have to tell you, like I said, I was shocked at how fast it came together after everything was chilled, how well it looked. It tasted wonderful, and I may never make pastry crust any other way, to be honest with you. So I'm going to share that recipe again over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/175. I'll also share the link to the cookbook, which is a pretty cool little cookbook. Again, Pamela Clark, Pocket Pies, Mini Empanadas, Pasties, Turnovers, and more. So yeah, I mentioned before, I'm not really a baker, although I dabble. So finding an even better pie crust recipe than the one I have been using is pretty cool. Maybe I got lucky. Maybe I just need to make it again and see if I have the same results. But yeah, I was extremely pleased with that. And obviously I can go on and on about this, but I won't. Okay. Hey, look, I have been testing a new giveaway system for the podcast. You know, in the past, I used to give away cookbooks on the show and things like that. And I've been a little lax about it the last several months because, quite honestly, it's not a difficult thing, but it's just kind of a pain to keep track of everything and to do things manually. And I haven't really found an automated system that makes it really that much easier. But then again, I haven't looked that hard. I know it sounds ridiculous when I say this out loud, like it's so hard to take people's names and draw a name out of a hat or something. But there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't want to screw it up. So I do have a new giveaway system I've implemented for the show. So now and then I will be doing giveaways. In fact, today, if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to have an opportunity to enter a giveaway. And the way you're going to do this, and I'll tell you about the book here in a second, but the way you're going to do this is you're going to hop over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/giveaway, and you will find instructions for how to enter. Now, I'm going to talk about the book in a second, but just so you know, this giveaway will be running from now, the 23rd of February, through February 9th, so of 2021. So that's the time you're going to have to enter the giveaway. Right now, the contest is available to people in the United States and Canada. I am working on a way in the future to try to figure out how to make some of the giveaways a little more internationally available, because I have a lot of listeners from all over the world and I want them to be able to participate somehow too. But for this next one, USA and Canada, all it's going to need is for you to give me your email address and your name, and you'll be entered if you follow the steps at kitchencounterpodcast.com/giveaway. And by the way, the email address is not to add you to any mailing list or to pester you about anything. It's simply so I know how to contact you should you be the name that I draw at the end of the contest after March 9th, okay? All right, so what am I giving away? I am giving away a beautiful, brand new, hard copy version of Susan Herman Loomis's book, Plat du Jour, French Dinners Made Easy. Brand new book, just came out a month or two ago. Let's see, it's 352 pages, chock full of beautiful pictures all around the concept of plat du jour. Now, what is plat du jour? You know, when you head down to the fancy dining district in your favorite town or city, and all the bistros have those cool sandwich boards out front where they've written in chalk or whatever what the special of the day is. That's essentially a plat du jour. It's that special meal of the day that a restaurant or a bistro features that's not part of the regular menu, and it's usually a very delicious, maybe it's a dish that takes a lot of preparation, that's why they don't serve it often. But that's what this book is about. So Susan Loomis has taken recipes from, she lives in Paris, by the way, so she knows her French cooking. This is her thing. She's written many, many other cookbooks, and they're all very good. But she basically takes well-known plat du jours from Paris, ideas from her chef colleagues and friends, recipes that she's developed that sort of distill the essence of French cookery down to its most essential form. So it's accessible to the home cook. She's got information, lots of substitutions. So these are very flexible recipes, but they are also, they have a very traditional bent to them as well. So as I like to do, I'm just going to pop open a few pages and just read some of these recipes for you. And there's everything in here from vegetarian to seafood to meat to side dishes, desserts, etc. So for example, we've got an avocado and cherry and chive salad in the appetizer section, cider braised duck with onions, shallots, leeks, and carrots, wine braised chicken with leeks and cream, slow cooked beef and onion stew, golden potatoes with bacon, onions, and melted cheese. I mean, there's just so much good looking food and techniques and hints and tips for putting this food together throughout this cookbook. It's really, really a wonderful addition, especially if you're interested in traditional Western cooking techniques and French cuisine. This would be a fantastic addition to your cookbook library. So Plat du Jour, French Dinners Made Easy by Susan Herman Loomis. If you're interested in me mailing you a brand new copy of this book, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/giveaway. Follow the rules, enter the contest. After March 9th, 2021, I'll draw a name and then I'll contact the winner and find out how they want me to mail them this beautiful, beautiful cookbook. Okay, so hopefully I'm back to a new era of fun and interesting giveaways on the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Do enter and I wish you luck. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Like I said, the empanadas episode is currently getting into the editing bay to get put together, and it could be a week, could be 2 weeks before that gets out, but this will not disrupt our regular scheduled delivery of podcast episodes every other week. So the next episode you can expect definitely will be on March 9th. Like I said, this empanada one may come between now and then, sort of as a fun bonus episode. Once again, the show notes for today is kitchencounterpodcast.com/175. If you'd like to get a hold of me, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com, or head over to the Facebook group at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. or TKC Podcast on Twitter. And look, if you get some value out of this show and you think your family or your friends might as well, by all means, share it with them. Show them how to find it on their smartphone or their computer. Maybe you have a favorite podcast application that you like to use and you can turn them on to. Because look, you might like my show, but there are thousands of other really amazing podcasts in all different genres out there. It's really a fascinating world to get into, and it's always fun to introduce folks to that if they're not familiar. Okay, everybody, one more time, thank you so much for joining me, taking some time to listen to what I have to say here at the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, I'm Roger. Happy cooking.